Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. Oh my god, guys. It has been so long since we've had a show. What has happened?
I don't know, Blake Buck. Everything in the world has been conspiring to make this show stop. Hell, I even got attacked by prostitutes the last time we tried to do this show.
We've been beset by problems on this week's show. We tried to record it like three times last week, and we kept having audio problems, and then we finally recorded it, and then... And then William's audio didn't come out, and it's just been a nightmare. But we're finally back.
God does not want this recording to happen.
I know. You guys better check your levels right now. Make sure they're jiggling. Make sure this is working.
Levels! Oh, my God. Too loud. Levels.
Also, guys, we've got two more announcements at the top of the show. If you didn't vote for us at Podcast Alley yet, guys, we're so close. We're in, like, number 25, 28, somewhere around there, depending on when you're looking. We're so close to getting into the top 20, maybe even the top 10 of Podcast Alley. So if you hadn't voted for us at Podcast Alley, regardless of what month it is, when you're listening to this, go vote right now. We're so close, and we're getting lots of new listeners, so vote for us at Podcast Alley. Also, guys, I'm sad to report that Tom Barbalay is with us no more. We have a new audio editor, and in fact, his name is Lucas. Lucas, if you could give us some taps here for Tom Barbalay. He has left the show. Does anyone want to explain this?
Well, I'd kind of like to take the opportunity to thank Tom for all that he's done for the show. I mean, Tom like came in at a time when we really needed him bad. You know, Blake Buck was getting tired of editing the show, and you know, I think if he hadn't come along and helped us out, we would have stopped podcasting, at least in this format. And we owe a lot to Tom, so we really want to thank him for all that he's contributed to the show. And we're sorry he can't do our editing anymore, but we hope that you know, he remains a dedicated listener.
I got nothing else to say on that. And this is your gaming news for Monday, June 25th, 2007.
Dude, I was ready to bust out a Lucas Tom Barbalay Highlander joke, but you know, I was gonna stow it.
All right, this week in the news, EA and ID bringing Mac game support. I swear I've read this before. EA spore delay, misinformation, and Manhunt 2 is all over the news this week, guys. It is insane. I'll listen more on this week's best damn podcast ever. Wait a minute, what's going on with the Mac gaming scene? I hear it's a renaissance.
Well, Blake Buck, there's been a veritable explosion in the Mac gaming scene, if you can call that an explosion, I guess. As probably a lot of you know who are Mac users, the Worldwide Developers Conference, which is Mac's big, Worldwide Developers Conference, got together in San Francisco last week, and CEO Steve Jobs took the opportunity to tout the fact that the Macintosh platform is going to get an injection of games, courtesy of EA and ID. So the star-studded gala was graced with the presence of, what is his name? Big Gordon, the creative director of EA, got up there and talked about new games that are coming out for the Macintosh. Among them,
Son, we got Command & Conquer 3, Tiberium Wars, Battlefield 2142, Need for Speed Carbon, and of course, everyone's favorite, the new Harry Potter game, Order of the Phoenix. I'm excited.
Dude, lest you forget, Age of Mythology, James Bond 007, Nightfire.
Those are classic EA-backed catalog.
So, in addition to Gordon's announcement, our favorite programmer, John Carmack, got up there. I don't know about... I actually watched the DC keynote, and when John Carmack got up there, like, he talks so fast, he looks like he's like a loud noise, he's gonna run away or something. I don't know.
it was like the first time you got up to do your book report, you had to say it all real fast,
dude, because the man has only spoken like 20 sentences in his life.
Disquake 2.
So in addition to Gordon's announcement, John Carmack got on stage and talked about his new engine, ID Tech 5. He played a video of it and looked hot, let me tell you. He touted that the thing was pushing 20 gigs of textures in a single scene, and artists could like manipulate the art assets in-game in real time and all this crazy stuff. But it looked really good. And he also said that there's going to be a new Mac project announcement from ID in the near future. So I'm excited about that. And also in the news this week, in addition to this, is a GameTap is coming to the Mac. So that opens up quite a bit of new... new Mac gaming goodness. I bet Tunster Dennis is taking a big duke in his pants right now.
Well, dude, I gotta say though, I'm not impressed, or I guess not that I'm not impressed, just that I've heard all this before a long time ago when we got, you know, Madden, we got Tony Hawk, and just all that stuff for the Mac died out after like 2 years.
Hmm. Yeah, also, I hate to be a naysayer, but William Miller, you sounded very impressed, but that new game, that new engine, I realized it was just an engine, but I don't know. I wish I had a term to describe this, but it's like it had it real bad in Perfect Dark. I call it like next-gen goo. Like, you have a level, and then you just spray next-gen goo, and everything's real shiny and slick, and it's got bumps everywhere all over it. It lacks subtlety, I think, the new engine
in
that demo.
Yeah, but it's, you got to remember, it's just a tech demo. I mean, demos are saturated with next-gen goo. It's supposed to show off the capabilities of the hardware, which I think it did nicely.
You could still do it a little more subtly.
Dude, it's a shiny plastic shader. It's a prophylactic shader.
Dude, I play Perfect Dark. Everybody in that game is made out of plastic. I'm fighting Lego, man. So what about this GameTap? I'm excited. Look, everybody poo-poos all over GameTap. I am very excited about GameTap on the Mac. That was until I saw it was Intel only. And
you just like GameTap because you get your Myst. Your Myst Uru.
Like my Myst Uru, son. But I also like the back catalog of Sega Dreamcast and Saturn games. Look, son. It's got Sega. It's got Uru. I'm happy.
That Myst Ubuntube. That's what you want.
All right, so I never played GameTap in my life. How does this work? Do you play like an emulator or something?
Well, the first thing that's coming out on the Mac is just going to be the light version. This is going to be the free version that anybody can try and play, and the pay-for version will come out in, they said, late summer. Essentially, download this little client, and it's sort of just like Steam, for those of you who use Steam. Everything launches within this player. You just pick the game you want, and it automatically streams the game to your machine. And once you sign up for the service, you obviously get more games, and you can play unlimited, and I don't know what caps they have. But, and they're starting to get... from what I understand of GameTap, they built it. It's done by the same people... Turner Broadcasting is done by the same people who do this GameTap thing. And so they built GameTap up the same way they built up Cartoon Network. You start off with the back catalog of old stuff and start to introduce new games as you get, you know, begin to gain steam. And that's the exact same thing they're doing on GameTap.
Hmm.
So I'm thinking it's going to be cool. I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking too soon. But I'm excited.
By the way, am I the only person here that actually pronounces this this company name as ID and not ID?
Yeah, I say ID. I've said ID since I was a kid, and then somebody was like, "Black Bug, it's supposed to be ID," but it's stuck in my brain. I'm gonna say ID.
I could have sworn John Carmack got up there and said ID Tech 5 for the name of his engine. Now, I could be wrong about that. I could misremember, but I'm pretty sure that's what he said. I don't know. There are much more pressing matters in the news right now. The game industry is on fire. Tell me why.
Well, not yet. Look, you're jumping to conclusions, son. Don't jump to conclusions, all right? You got to have a mat for that. Because first, I think Justin Fick, I'm trying to work a segue, and it's not happening. Justin Fick, save me.
Speaking of ID, Spore is delayed.
Good. Good work.
Perfection. Okay, so this is a two-part cornucopia of Spore delay misinformation. So for those of you that haven't heard yet, it's been all over the place. Game Informer posted a quote from EA saying that Spore has been, quote, delayed indefinitely. So naturally, this caused every fat, sweaty nerd to cream his pants in despair. And the internet is exploded with nerd rage.
Here's what I think would happen, y'all. All right. They made Spore, right? And then they figured out that just didn't work. I mean That's it. It doesn't work.
Yeah, like they built up all this hype and it fell out from under them. This game has no content. All we got is these trailers.
Dude, Will Wright showed off like he's showing off his Cell game, and you know what? He cuts to a totally different game. Cut, and there's no transition. Like you can tell these are like seven different little, you know, separate prototypes, and there's no way for those games to fit together.
Yeah, I think this game sounded good on paper, but not when you played it. And now it's like hit them like a ton of bricks, and this game may not even come out now. What do you think?
Well, here's the second part to it. So EA has come back and said that all this stuff has been the result of misinformation. And technically what's going to happen is it's been pushed into their early fiscal year 2009, which runs it runs from April 2008 through March 2009. So that could be as early as April of next year.
Oh, please.
But still, that's almost a year of no Spore, which you know what? Spore is going the way of a Stalker. I don't give a
Man, I'm telling you, they figured out that Spore didn't work. So what they're going to release in fiscal year 2009, it's just going to be like Street Fighter or something. Something fun.
Dude, you know what I want to see? I want to see next-gen Xbox 360 Sim Ant.
Oh, yeah, man. That was a good game.
Man, I remember...
Dude, I want my yellow ant to, like, chomp other ants and then blood to spray. Like Earth Defense Force. I'm a yellow ant in Earth Defense
Force. I remember back in elementary school, that was, like, the first game I ever pirated. Like, I remember I copied that onto a disc. And I was, like, looking around, and I took it home, and I put it on my computer. I was like, I can't believe that worked, and I'm not in jail. And, like for a week, I was paranoid I was going to get shot at by, like, FBI sniper or something.
Dude, Will Wright is just going to create a sim gun and shoot you in the face with it. Going to shoot his next-gen goo at you.
No, that was the only instance of that ever happened, of course. I've never pirated a game since. Because I haven't played a game since, actually.
So, I don't know. What do you guys think about Spore? Do you think they're going to pull this out, or do you think this is just going to turn into, like, Duke Nukem and just melt to pieces?
I think they've sunk too many resources in it to give up on it. I mean, there's no way they can say, oh, too bad, we're not making Spore. I mean...
Miller, PR professional.
No, it'll come out. It's just a matter of when and how it'll look and stack up compared to the stuff it competes with when it comes back in 2012 or whenever
it
comes out.
Sim, what is it? Sim Societies now that got announced last week?
Yeah.
Isn't that the same developer? Aren't those both Maxis titles?
Maxis?
Yeah.
So I haven't heard a thing about it.
They announced a new Sim game called Sim Societies last week. I guess Will Wright just lost interest in Spore. And he's working on, I got this new game, y'all. Forget Spore. It's a thing of the future. Right now, it's Sim Societies. So, speaking of societies, Manhunt 2... I'm giving up on these segues. Manhunt 2 has been censored and banned by several societies across the globe. So the upcoming violent video game Manhunt 2 faced an uncertain future Thursday after being banned by two countries this week and facing the ratings controversy in the United States. So what happened? First off, the BBFC, which let me see if I can look what that stands for. Does anybody know what the BBFC stands for? It's like the British Board of, I don't know, Federal Commission Scientists. And... essentially, they issued a statement.
Big-breasted flying chicks. That's what it stands for.
they are the equivalent of the ESRB in America. And they got their tape for Manhunt 2, and they said thumbs down. They didn't even review the game. They said this game will never go on sale in its current state in the United Kingdom. Following that, both Ireland, Australia, and I believe Germany have barred the game in its current state. America as well has issued the ESRB has issued the game an adults only rating, which means it cannot be sold in most large retailers, including Best Buy, Target, Walmart, I believe Circuit City as well. So you're either gonna get it on GameStop or in, you know, I guess on the internet if it's adult only. Not only that, but at the same time, Nintendo and Sony, just to reiterate their stance on this position, because this has always been true of their policy from day one. Sony and Nintendo do not allow adult-only rated games to be released on their system. They won't even grant you the license to put the game on their systems. I believe Microsoft has a similar policy as well, but the game has only been announced for the Wii and PS2. So it's looking like a big thumbs down on Manhunt 2, which, for those of you who don't know, Manhunt 1, you went around and you grabbed... You know, I don't really even remember. It's been so long since I played that game.
Okay, so Manhunt, the aesthetic of Manhunt is based on that of snuff films.
That's true.
I don't know if y'all know what that is or not, but a snuff film is essentially where, like, somebody records themselves killing somebody else. And usually they're fake, but they're so, like, realistically done that you think they're real. Like, if you go online and, I guess, look at a snuff... See, I have a crazy roommate, Simon, and he, like, showed me one of these one time. But it's like...
There's usually sex involved in snuff films as well.
Yeah, there's
usually
sex involved.
It's
very, like, sexually charged. But I mean, the one that I watched was just gross. I forget what it was called, but it was a famous one. It was done by a couple actors, but it was made so realistically, like... Even the way they shot it, you know, with, like, crappy tape and all that. It just looked like,
Passion of
you
the
know.
Christ.
Dude, it was Butt Blaster 7.
I mean, but that's sort of the aesthetic that they're going for in Manhunt, so.
Well, and I have to give it to, who developed this? Rockstar Games, one of their, you can't even keep track of which Rockstar it is. Rockstar is about 100 different developers now. But Rockstar Games, you got to hand it to them for... going out on a limb and trying to mimic this style, I guess you would say, and trying to be bold, but at the same time, obviously people aren't going to like this.
Well, you can't give too much credit, because now they're pussying out.
Now, oh, that's
now
right.
Now they're trying to shelve it.
Yeah, that's right. Why don't you go into that part of our heat, Justin Fick?
All right, so I guess in response to all the bans and all this stuff, Take-Two is shelving it. They're saying it's been temporarily suspended while they continue exploring, quote, options.
Hmm.
So
it was originally scheduled for a July 10th release date, right?
Yeah, and now it probably won't make that.
Hmm.
So it said they have this temporarily suspended plans to distribute Manhunt 2 for the Wii or PlayStation. Reviews options with regard to recent decisions made by the British Board of Film Classification and Entertainment Software Rating Board. Hmm. So, it says they're continuing to stand by the game and they believe in the freedom of creative expression. Blah 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 blah. But they're probably going to try to retool it to get an M, if anything. Hmm.
See, I've been getting sort of the same kind of rhetoric filling my Firaxis mailing or email account, and the 2K guy, the 2K king, came in and talked to us, and their stance pretty much is, you know, we stand by the game, we don't want to change the game if we can help it, and we think it's really important that games like this be put out there, and I think that's true. You know, like half of me sort of agrees with Doug Lowenstein when he calls for, you know, social responsibility for game developers. You know, just because we can make it doesn't mean we should. But, you know, at the same time, though, you know, this kind of thing needs to be made. You know, our industry is beginning to discover what it is and what it's capable of. And just like the film industry and even the print media and all kinds of creative forms did at one point. And we're witnessing that. We're witnessing it in the social arena. We're witnessing it in the artistic arena. So how our culture accepts it and how the games industry subsequently deals with that kind of acceptance is going to be very interesting. Within the next 5 years, I think things are going to really change or solidify or something. So I think it's important. This is like an important, you know, milestone here.
Well, what they need to do is, instead of retooling it to be an M, they just need to grow a pair of balls, put it out as AO, and then sell it on their own website, buymanhunt2.com or something.
No, but see, the problem with that is you can't do that because Sony and Nintendo won't even grant you licenses. Those copies of the game won't even be able to be created.
Dude, PC version, do it like Running with Scissors in Postal 2.
Seriously.
Well,
they did quite well.
You could do that, but do they have plans for a PC version? Because I don't think at the time... Do they have one? I don't think so.
No. In a perfect world run by Justin Fick, this would happen.
Man, you know, I can't speak for the developers, but I'd be willing to wager that they have a PC version running in-house already. I mean, you don't develop a console game on the console. You develop it on PC and then make it run on the console. I mean, that's generally how you do it. And, you know, think about how, like, how marketable that would be. This game was too raw and too hardcore to be released on Nintendo and Sony.
The game they didn't want you to see.
So we're going to give it to you on the PC, you know, on our website. Everybody's going to buy it. I'd buy that, man.
So let's go break down the responses here. So this is what everybody said. Everybody's throwing shit at each other's faces. So let's break it down. Take-Two Chairman Strauss Zarelnik, or Zynik. I don't know how to spell that. He says, the Rockstar team has come up with a game that fits squarely within the horror genre as it was intended to. It brings a unique, formerly unheard of cinematic quality to interactive entertainment, and it is also a fine piece of art.
Snuff.
Now, hang on now. I mean, a lot of people call 120 Days of Sodom or whatever, or what was that guy that wrote all that real gross erotic stuff in France? What was his name? Marquis de Sade. Like,
wait, dude, that right? Narrows it down.
Dude, nobody knows what you're talking about. Only you know about gay French writers. We are not academics here, William Miller.
I'm sorry.
Now, take instead something a little more familiar, like Debbie Does Dallas.
Now, that is great art right there.
So, the director of the BBFC, David Cook, this is like the British ESRB, said, Manhunt, this is in the rejection letter, it said, Manhunt 2 is distinguishable from recent high-end video games by its unremitting bleakness and callousness of tone. Those are strong words, sir. There is a sustained and cumulative casual sadism in the way in which these killings are committed and encouraged in the game. Those are fighting words, says...
Dude, I would not sit down with this dude for a beer.
Well, look, some kid in Ireland apparently got killed when somebody was reenacting something from the first Manhunt. So, I mean, I think... Do you think it is possible that because this game is getting released, someone could die?
Dude, people get killed all the time walking in front of f***ing trains. People are stupid.
Look, there are people that are going to be influenced by media. There's always going to be people that are influenced by media, no matter what the media is. And just because it's a video game and it's a violent video game, you know, doesn't excuse that fact. It's a global fact. There are sick people out there that are easily guided by things like this. Does that mean we shouldn't put them out there? No, but that means that we should be very conscientious of the effect that games like this have on people and provide help and, you know, support or preventative measures for, you know, people that are susceptible to that kind of thing.
I think
the rule is simple. If you kill someone else over a video game, there's a word for you that is psychotic. Also murderer.
Speaking of psychotic, Jack Thompson has an obligatory response to this Take-Two debacle. He says, I love Jack Thompson writes these letters like to the game industry. It's like to game industry. Love Jack Thompson. He says, this is all absolutely delicious. I warned Take-Two months ago that there would be huge problems if it went ahead with Manhunt 2. Who was right about that, kiddies? Secondly, the BBC and the world are now laughing at Take-Two chairman Strauss Zelnick for his idiotic statement saying yesterday that Manhunt 2 is a fine piece of art. Find the BBC story on that. Right, and Jack the Ripper, it was his generation's Rembrandt. Please. Take-Two has been hemorrhaging cash over the last few financial quarters, and it must make it worse. I love it. If all you want to do is stop and think about this for a minute, this is a huge benefit to the video games industry. Oh, really? It fits in nicely with their argument that the ESRB ratings are real, and they actually mean something. So he goes on and kind of babbles on for a few more pages.
That's so true, though. Like the one thing that we can be proud of in this is that the ESRB slapped an AO on this game.
That's true.
Because we could, you know, if it had gotten an M, we would have said, oh, well, they got paid off. Uh-huh. That game got an M. Yeah, right. But no, the ESRB said this game is a snuff film that you play. We're giving it an AO. They should have given an AO to the first one.
You know, one game, this just occurred to me.
But listen, at the same time, though, games should have AO ratings if they need AO ratings. But there should be distribution channels for those games. Like, you shouldn't ban a game that just because it has an AO rating. You shouldn't be able to ban games, but they should absolutely have the rating if they deserve it.
Well, let's hold on for that, because we got to move on to the discussion. Our discussion is kind of going to bleed into this. What was the point I was about to say? Oh, so one thing I just thought of, have you guys ever played Condemned either on the 360 or PC?
No, but it looks like a 1,000 easy gamer score points, so I just might.
Well, in Condemned, you play a detective, and it's kind of like the movie Seven, if you've ever seen that. But there's
Dude, this is where you collect birds and shit.
Yeah, you collect birds.
Does
okay,
it have Morgan Freeman in it?
No.
If only it had Morgan Freeman. But you go around, and you got to chase this serial killer, right? And on the way, there's like a million junkies, and they're hopped up on bad sugar, bad honey buns or something, and you got to beat them with pipes, and I mean some of these moves are disgusting. I mean, like, when you get them on the ground, it comes up with the thumbs, you know, what is it, the D-pad, and you get four different moves you can use to execute them. There's like neck stab, face stomp, butt plug. Actually, there may not be a butt plug. That may have been an exaggeration.
There should.
But violence is, I mean, the gaming industry is already, I mean, this, I don't know, I mean, obviously I haven't seen the content of the game, but there's already stuff out there that's really, really questionable even now.
Again, I don't think that content should be limited. It should be labeled for what it is and sold in the appropriate places to the appropriate people. You shouldn't be able to sell the games to kids. You know, I agree with, like, people like demonize the left for you know, being all anti-video game and all. Look, all they really want is not to tell developers they can't make the games or tell, you know, retailers they can't sell them. They just want to tell them that you can't sell stuff to kids, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. You know,
so let's break it down into a couple of questions. All right, so here's my first question. Should developers be free to create games that glorify death, destruction, and the macabre, or how do you say that word?
Yes, mandatory.
Mandatory. All right, well, that question's solved. Number two, is the ESRB and other rating boards like an effective way to protect children and consumers?
I think the ESRB is absolutely an effective way, and I think it gets more effective every day. Every day that the ESRB exists, and, you know, the more people are educated about what the ESRB is and what the ratings mean, the more effective it is. And I think retailers need to be held to a high standard of accountability in terms of, like, selling games that are rated, you know, inappropriately for children or whatever. So that's going to help the ESRB.
Now see, I've seen a cool rating system. The Koreans have the CERO, which is kind of like their version of the ESRB, and then the CERO is different from the ESRB in that it doesn't have an age. Like, ESRB has, like, you know, M is like 17 plus,
you get that
AO
10
is
plus.
18 plus. Yeah, yeah. It's like CERO, their rating tells you what's in the game. It doesn't give you an age.
Well, so does the ESRB on the back of the box.
Well, the ESRB has their suggested, you know, this, you know, M games aren't suitable for ages, you know, below 17. AO isn't suitable for ages below 18. I mean, that's on there. I mean, CERO is just an objective listing of okay, this game has, you know, blood, chainsaws, and an alien with three tits.
I want that.
And then it leaves it up to families to make their own damn decisions. Because, you know what? Maybe my kid is a smart kid, and maybe he can play games with aliens with three tits when he's 12. And maybe someone else's kid is a moron and can't play until he's 18. That's my choice as a parent, as for the kids that I don't have and probably won't have anytime soon.
Now, one thing I wanted to bring up was somebody just wrote something about this a few days ago. I think it was on Joystick, but. An issue about the ESRB that kind of got swept under the rug this time last year was the re-rating of Oblivion. Now, did you guys hear about this when it happened?
Dude, titty patch.
Yeah, can't you get, like, titties in Oblivion or something, so they re-rated it?
Well, here's what happened. They shipped Oblivion for the PC and 360, right? Then, lo and behold, somebody went on the internet and made patch so you could see titties. Yeah, who'd have thought it? So the ESRB went back and re-rated the game on the PC to an M because it has nudity in it. But what really bothers me about this is really twofold. Number one, the only way you could get the titties was if you downloaded a patch from a third party. It was never in the game originally. Second of all, I believe God of War both 1 and 2 feature breasts, and it has a M rating. Well, then again, I guess they were going for teens, so I guess that's not right. Yeah, I guess titties get you. I guess that's not really a point anymore. Titties get you an M. That's the rule. But
well, see, here's the thing too. It's like it's very pick and choose. Like God of War, you know, it's got titties. I can buy God of War in Walmart. I can't buy you know, Grand Theft Auto when that was the whole hot coffee thing was going on. You know, and then furthermore, like if you have to download a patch to get your titties, that's like voiding your warranty.
Yeah,
it's like you've opened up your computer and you're soldering shit now. You download patch, you void warranty. You're after titties. It's not like, oh my god, there's titties in my game. That's like, no, you were specifically going to the internet to download a patch for your game that does not contain titties.
I know, and
to give it
and that
titties.
Really pisses me off because like. Because, like, E3 happened immediately the week after that, nobody really, like, it kind of got swept under the rug. But that's really a big, I mean, that really, if I were, what is it, Bethesda Softworks, I would be way pissed that my game got, you know, essentially I'm going to sell potentially less copies because of their flaky definition on what an M game is.
Now, the definition of what an M game is flaky on purpose because it's supposed to change based on the... We've been over this before. It's supposed to change based on the views and sort of context of the American people at the time the game was rated. That's why they are in New York. That's why they draw from a big cross section of people that deal with kids. You know,
look,
that's the way the ESRB works. It's supposed to change based on what the
I
American
understand
people
that,
think
but look,
or
patches,
an estimation dude, of that.
Patches with titties does not equal M. And that's,
No.
That should
I,
not
I
have happened.
I absolutely agree with that. I mean, they shouldn't have re-rated the game based on content that wasn't in the game. Like, if what's on the shelf at Walmart doesn't have titties in it, you shouldn't rate it for having titties in it.
Absolutely. So, moving on with our last few questions here. So what's the role of retailers? And is there anything retailers can do? Will it ever be possible to, say, sell AO games effectively to make a profit and it won't be financial suicide?
Yeah, not be run by religious whack jobs.
Well, I mean, retailers retain the right to decide what they can sell and what they don't sell. I mean, that's their right. And I don't think AO games are ever going to find their way, or at least not, you know, not for a while, into Walmart and, you know, where they still censor Tupac CDs. So I think there are valid distribution channels for AO games. It's the same distribution channels that are becoming really popular in the industry anyway. Things like Steam, internet only, no middleman. You know, the developer and the publisher have the power of distribution, not the retailer. So I think that's
Dude,
a.
You know what I want to see? I want to see like porno shops start stocking like AO games. So like next to Deep Throat, you have Manhunt 2.
Deep Throat, a classic. Excellent work, Justin Fick.
See, I know my classics.
So on
Nintendo, you can't say I'm not cultured.
So Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony do not allow AO games on the system, and Sony has its own internal review for controversial material. Is this the responsibility of the licensors? What do you guys think?
Yes, it is. Again, just like retailers, the licensors the manufacturers of the hardware have, you know, the right to, or not, well, not the right, but the prerogative at least to say, you know, what can go on their stuff. And they do this for a reason. Like back in the day, in Atari days, right, Atari didn't regulate anything on their system. And as a result, their system, you know, had 40 games for it come out every month and only two of them worked. And because of that, their system was known at that point, you know, as the one where only half the games worked, or a very small subset of the games worked. So in order, like, take Nintendo, for example, that's a prime example. Nintendo has a very specific demographic that it wants to hit, and it releases games that fit into that demographic nicely, and they control that very tightly, and they do that for a reason. So, you know, it makes sense. It makes sense to you know, you
got
to
get that Nintendo Gold Star. You know what I'm talking about? That little.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, think about PlayStation. If PlayStation said, all right, we're going to let booby.jpg games on our system, what's the PlayStation going to be known for? Booby.jpg, because nobody else has got it.
Dude, Custer's Revenge 2.
Custer's Revenge 2 3D.
Also, not only that, did you guys know that PlayStation does not allow the use of tobacco in any of their games? I don't think any PlayStation game has ever been released with cigarettes
really?
In it. I'm not 100% sure on that fact, but I believe that's
Did somebody smoke in Max? No. Look, that's not true because you got
No,
because
no, you
listen,
can smoke
listen.
Metal Gear. Well, they definitely curb it. You can only use it
a little bit.
No,
that's not true because you can use cigarettes in Metal Gear Solid.
I just said that, son.
I can't hear you.
But remember, when you used it in Metal Gear Solid, you lost health when you were smoking. Maybe that's how you got to snake
it. Dude, listen, in Metal Gear Solid, when you were sniping, the cigarette steadied your rifle. Well, dude, I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up.
If not smoking, they have diazepam. They have more stop gas.
You munch pills to steady your rifle.
I just missed both of those lines.
All right, well, we'll move on. That's a dumb question. Okay, so finally, here's a question I got for you guys. Did Take-Two and Rockstar see this coming? What's going to happen to Manhunt 2? What do you guys think?
Dude, I say yes. And in fact, I say they paid off Jack Thompson to raise a stink.
That's why Zelnick met with him last week or whatever.
Dude, that's my theory.
That's right. They had a secret meeting. You guys want to hear my secret theory? All right, so I don't know if you guys ever seen this movie. What's it called? I can't remember what it's called. It's a movie about censorship in the film industry. Oh, it's called This Film Is Not Yet Rated.
Butt Blaster 7.
And This Film Is Not Yet Rated. They talk about censorship in the film industry, and it's kind of the same parallels to the game industry. And one of the people they interviewed was, who are they? Trey Parker and Matt Stone about Team America World Police. You guys remember that movie?
Oh, yeah.
So in the original cut of that movie, did we lose somebody? Everybody still here? I heard a beep.
No.
Nope.
I'm here.
Okay. So in the original cut of that movie, they had a puppet sex scene. And when they did it, they just blew it way out of proportion. It was so disgusting. Like, they had all these scenes they didn't even want to go in the movie in there. So when they sent it to the ratings board, and I use his exact words, they would have something to piss on. So they made an exaggerated version of their film so they could get closer to what they actually wanted in the final cut. Did Take-Two do the same thing? Did they maybe send in a tape that was just way blown out of proportion?
I don't know.
So they could get all this media attention, and they've the whole time been prepared with a toned down version, perhaps.
Well, that sounds really.
Yeah, I can dig that theory. They have it ready to go, so it has all this publicity, and they just like here, blam, M version, go D.
I mean, because all they really had to do to get all this publicity was send in a tape.
Well, that sounds really intelligent to me. I don't know if that's actually what they wanted to do, because I mean. First of all, getting an ESRB rating is no easy task. And secondly, they've gotten, like, their two main platforms they've been developing for saying, we're not going to let you have it on our system. And that's bad, right?
No, but just in its current state. I think, look, if they re-edit this game, I think everybody will be fine with it, at least, you know, to an extent. Obviously, Christian groups.
But it's not as simple as just, like, re-editing the game. I mean, a game, you can't just cut things out. Like a movie.
But that's what I'm arguing. They've probably been developing this the whole time, you know, with this in mind. At least I'm hoping. I mean, surely they should have had this at least in the back of their minds that this could happen.
Well, we need to keep that in mind.
They have their game, and they have their scene where the guy rips out the dude's intestines and plays skip rope with it, knowing that that's the scene that they're gonna want to cut out.
Right, exactly. Just my Team America story. They manufactured some scenes knowing they were gonna cut it out just to stir up this media hype. Because look, they're on BBC, they're in New York Times, they're all over the news this week with this game.
That's true. Like, I wouldn't put it past them to do that. That's an interesting idea, Blake Buck. Even if that's not exactly the case,
well, and this isn't the first game they've done this with either.
Yeah,
I mean it's been Manhunt 2, it's been Bully, it's been every Grand Theft Auto, Manhunt 1. Like their marketing strategy has been piss everybody off, release game.
I like how unapologetic they are in their statements. This game is a work of art and must be seen. So, it's been delayed, but we'll see how this censorship folds out. I'm still rooting for Manhunt 2. I think they can pull it off. So, we'll see how this develops. You guys got any final thoughts for us?
Nope.
Okay, well, thank you, academics. It's now time for the releases. We're going to go.
All right. This week in releases, we've got quite a few games that we've already talked about.
No, I removed all of them.
A couple times trying to do the show.
Have you not reloaded your wiki?
Oh, we've got new. I don't see Dirt on there anymore.
That's my favorite one. Resident Evil? Those were last week's hits. So what do we got this week, Wayne Miller?
All right. So, So we've got Overlord for PC and Xbox 360 on June 26th, Next Generation Gaming, in a twisted fantasy world where players have the choice to be evil or really evil. We've got The Darkness.
Now
the
Darkness. No, hang on. I played this game. I played a demo, and this game was hot. Like, it was sort of like, it looked kind of like Fable. You guys ever play Fable?
Mm-hmm.
That game sucked, but the graphics weren't bad. Anyway, but it looks kind of like Fable, and you go around, and you have these little minions, these little goblins, and you tell them to go kill stuff. And so you're kind of this overlord, and you use your goblin minion squad to do your bidding. So it was pretty cool.
Dude, I could do that. I heard it's like an evil Pikmin.
Yeah. It's a lot kind of like evil Pikmin with a cool visual style.
So instead of like grow flowers and collect my spaceship, it's rape that bitch and burn her baby's house.
Well, it's more of a cutesy style. Like, it's kind of a fantasy cutesy art style. So it's not quite raping babies, as I know you love, Justin Fig. But damn near there. What else we got, Wayne Miller?
All right, we got The Darkness for Xbox 360 and PS3 on June 25th. Darkness is an action game based on the comic book series starring Jackie Estegado. Estegado, is that how you say that?
I think so.
I don't know. And a possessed mafia hitman who has a horde of demons that do his bidding.
Now, think about this game. It's developed by the same guys who did Chronicles of Riddick: Escape from Butcher Bay. Yeah. You guys remember that
one? And you know what that means? It means Vin Diesel.
Oh, shit, son. Does it got Vin Diesel? Because I'm sold.
I know it's got Vin Diesel in it, but Vin Diesel works... like he's one of the main creative forces in that company behind Riddick. Dude, the man is a complete nerd.
Really? So he's like involved with this game, The Darkness?
I would think so. He was involved with Riddick.
Oh man!
And if it's the same company, I assume he's working with these guys too. He has a game company.
Well, that's cool.
Dude, the man has a Dungeons and Dragons tattoo. I shit you not.
Oh man, dude, thumbs up, Vin Diesel. If there was ever a hot man to save me from like an exploding helicopter, it would be Vin Diesel. Oh shit, son, have you guys seen the new Die Hard trailer?
Dude, I don't know how I feel about that heat.
Oh my god, look, I was watching TV on my TV and I was fast forwarding, and for a half split second, I said, because you know it fast forwards real fast, you don't really see anything, but I saw a cop car exploding into a helicopter. I am sold.
Well, dude, it's gonna be PG-13. And not R. And instead of Samuel L. Jackson, bad motherfucker, you have the I'm a Mac dude.
Oh, that's
he's a
true.
Hacker. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this heat.
Well, we'll see. Anyway, Windmill, get back on your heat. I'm sorry to keep interrupting you.
All right. Well, and we also have Bomberman Live for Xbox 360 XBLA. Holy shit, son, June 2007. Fantastic. Bomb Your Buddy Classic comes to Xbox Live Arcade.
Oh man, I'm ready.
Dude, this game is hot.
Oh wait, I forgot Transformers the movie, the game is also coming out this month.
Is that like the Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, The Rise of the Witch King? Oh no, excuse me. The Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, The Battle for Middle Earth, The Rise of the Witch King. There we go. Gotta get those in the right order.
Something like that.
Of the damned.
Alright, Justin, what do we got?
Alright, we also have Grim Grimoire for PS2. Jesus Christ. When a young magician is admitted to a prestigious magic school, she finds that her memories hold the keys to saving her fellow students. She can only solve the mystery and prevent tragedy.
I'm sorry, Justin Dude. Fink. I don't Dude. Know how you ended up with that one.
Dude, it's... I don't know. Plus, it's PS2 only. You missed the boat, folks!
Justin Fick on PS2 game development. You missed the boat, folks.
Where are you guys? Dude, these guys came from back in time.
They
made this game after Harry Potter 1, and now they're just releasing it, and they're like, oh, fuck, there's three new game systems now.
Dude, they started making that game before Harry Potter came out. They thought it was a good idea, but they really missed the boat.
Look, I heard this game wasn't so bad. I think it got an 8.4 on GameSpot. And look, there's still a lot of PlayStation 2s out there, son. It's still the number one
game
system.
Dude, if Stalker could get an 8-something on GameSpot, so can anything.
That's true. That's true. What else we got, Justin Fink?
All right, we also got Pokemon's Battle Revolution for the Wii. Pokemon's Battle Revolution is the first online multiplayer-enabled game for the Wii. Battle with your Pokemons. Now, I heard I heard you can actually use your Pokemans in your DS to battle with the Wii version of Pokemans.
Now that is hot. You'd be battling on your screen and then on the big screen. And if you were Blake Buck, you'd also be like pantomiming battle on the carpet out front.
Whoa.
Three layers of battle.
Whoa.
So this means I actually have to go back to my DS and level up my Pokemans.
I guess so. All right, so finally we got Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Vegas for the PlayStation 3. This came out, I think, like last October for the 360. I got this game. It's pretty good. You run, you're a secret agent, or, you know, what are they, Splinter Cell, Double Secret Cell, and you go around Vegas and shoot stuff. So it's coming out on the PS3, so pick that up if you hadn't already given it a try. Next, we got Final Fantasy Anniversary Edition coming out on June 26th. Square Enix brings Final Fantasy 1 to the PlayStation Portable with all new features such as character art, updated graphics, and a 16:9 presentation.
How many times do they expect me to play this f***ing game?
I know, seriously, man. Look, Square, I understand that, like, the price of game development has gone up, especially with, like, creating new IPs every time you come up with a new game, but come on. Come on, son. I'm done with this. You got enough remakes. I want, you know, like Vagrant Story 2.
Ooh. Ooh.
Dude.
Ooh.
Son.
For, ooh.
Son. Finally, we've got Lost Planet Extreme Condition on the PC. This is coming out on June 26th. This is an Xbox 360 game. I guess they're bringing it to PC and Vista, I believe. So you can shoot, like, bugs in the snow.
Man, so, all right, so I'm over at Blake Buck's house breaking his stuff, and I'm playing on his Xbox 360. He's got a demo of this Lost Planet game, and so I fire that demo up, and I'm thinking, you know, I've read about it, supposed to, graphics supposed to be really good or whatever. The whole game is just white, because you're in snow. The whole game is white. And every once in a while, you see a little bug, and you shoot at it. It's ridiculous.
Wayne Miller on Lost Planet. Dude, there's too much white. All right. Well, now it's time for the judgment. Now, guys, I got to be honest with you. I did this judgment last week, but I got to do it again because I owe Ambrosia a review. So this is my second try.
We're gonna pretend all your jokes are fresh.
Yeah, everybody pretend that this is fresh and new on the show here. All right. So DEF CON, for those of you who don't know, DEF CON is for the PC and Mac. It's a shareware game made by, who are they called? Darwinia guys.
Introversion.
Introversion Interactive, I believe they're called. So DEF CON is an online multiplayer strategy game based around the theme of global thermonuclear war. It's sort of inspired from the 1983 War Games movie. You guys remember that one? Dude, that was my favorite movie back in the day.
Yeah, man.
I loved that movie. Look, you remember in that movie he had that modem that you actually put the phone receiver
yes.
on to use it? You remember that? Like, it was like a rotary telephone modem. And like, he didn't have a screen or something. He just had, like, 10 printers going all the time. Man, I want 10 printers going on all the time.
My favorite part of that movie was whenever, you know, there was, like, the computer that had gotten out of hand. They would always cut to this shot of that computer, and it's this giant thing filling up this room. It's got all these lights, and it's beeping, and it's humming real big. That's what I want my computer to look like, this big box that hums and blinks.
So you just have a printout of paper that's going nowhere, just piling up on the floor.
Yeah, man.
Those are the readouts. So the player assumes the role of a general hidden deep in an underground bunker. I guess that'd be like NORAD. And the mission is to successfully exterminate the enemy's civilian population while at the same time disabling the enemy's ability to retaliate. So this is kind of like an RTS game. I like to call it a streamlined RTS game. You take your units. There's only just a few handful of units. There's like nuclear silo, which is also a nuclear defense silo. Then there's, you know, fighter planes, bomber planes, there's submarines that can launch nukes, and a couple other boats, and that's it. And everybody's got the same units, everybody starts with the same units, everybody's pretty much equal. And you play, most of the games last about 20 to 30 minutes, and you just play your little game of thermonuclear war. And so, I think every time you kill somebody, you get 1 point, and every time you lose, you lose your own people. I think you lose half a point, or something like that. But it's got a very slick visual style. Well, let me get to that in a minute. Let's see. So you can play this game on. You can play against a computer opponent, which is kind of boring, or you can play online with Mac or Windows players for total world domination, it says.
Nice, nice.
And even the Ambrosia website here says you can cleanse the world of Windows users by battling them online. I like that. The subtle Mac touch there. So, the pros, this is what I like about this game. It's got a very slick visual style and atmosphere. It's got like a, just like War Games or what's that other one? Doctor Strangelove from the of Stanley Kubrick fame. It's got this big board and it's all black and it's illuminated kind of in blue, and your units are it's got kind of this low hum, like you're in a military base, and you can kind of hear people shuffle around in the backgrounds. And then when you blow up a target, like it'll say like New York hit 5.7 million dead, and you know, this kind of cryptic font, and you'll hear people crying in the background. So very, very slick in terms of atmosphere and style. It's very easy to pick up and play. The game takes you through the tutorial, but really you don't even need it. You could just start this game and figure it out. Launch nuke, don't get shot. that's the basics of it. You can kind of figure it out as you go. The gameplay is fairly deep. You know, it's not like a World of Warcraft or even Warcraft 3 or Starcraft in terms of depth. But there's still lots of ways to play. You know, they've got different continents you can play on, and that sort of adds to the strategy. It's got a couple of cool modes as well, like one of them is called Office. I never played this because I didn't have anybody to play with at the time, but this is where you play like a game for 8 hours at a time. And so it's like the missiles move real time. So you shoot off a missile, and it's going to take, you know, 4 or 5 hours to strike its target. Maybe not that long, but you know, you would just set it up on your computer, and you and your buddy would play all day long while you're, you know, working, or I guess not working. And finally, it's got a strong online community and mod community. There's not only a lot of people online, but Mac users can play with Windows users. And there's a lot of mods out there. There's some where you can play, like, planet battles, you know, like Earth can fight Mars. Or there's one where it's Australia's not actually in the original game, so they have one where it's just, like, Battle of Australia. And, like, left side of Australia tries to battle right side of Australia. So there's a lot of ways to vary it up in terms of mods. Things I don't like about this game, as I said, it's not as deep as you know, your regular real-time strategy games, because it's designed to be quick and easy to play. But you know, it's still fun, but not quite as deep. When you play online, you're never gonna win because everybody's better than you on the internet. So just don't go there. And finally, on the Mac, it's a little expensive. I believe it's $29.95 on the Mac, whereas it's only like I think $20 on the PC. I understand.
Damn,
you got porting costs and all that, but at the same time, this is a really sweet deal for $20 if you're on the PC. $30 on the Mac, not as good of a deal, but it's still fun. So, thumbs up on DEF CON. I would go as far as to say this is my favorite shareware game of the year thus far. So, thumbs up, DEF CON. Go check it out at Ambrosia Software or AmbrosiaSW.com for the PC or on... Excuse me, go to AmbrosiaSW.com on the Mac, or if you're on the PC, you can either get it on Steam, or I think you can just go to DEF CON. It's EverybodyDies.com. That's their official website.
God. How did I not get that domain name? Dude, I failed at life.
Now, you were talking about the office mode in this game it being ridiculously long. I've since discovered that in Civilization, you can play Civ over email. So I'm anxious to try this Civ over email. So if any of you listeners want to get your asses handed to you by William Miller in Civ,
oh my God,
it's W. Dude,
that would take like
at
Firaxis.com. Literally, like if you were. I mean, both of you were, like, way on top of it. It would still take you weeks to finish a game of Civ, going, like, one turn at a time.
Look, baby, Civilization was not built in a day, all right?
Okay. All right, thank you, marketing department.
Dude, now dude, you know what I want to... I want to make this. I want to make Kill Monty played by email.
Move right, 2 pixels, throw grenade.
Email from Justin Fick. Move up, shoot.
The next 50 emails are just shoot over and over again. All right, now it's time for the jank. I ain't a winner, got a hot hand. Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. All right, guys, I got a jank for you. I feel like I'm talking so much. I hate it when I have to do a judgment and then immediately have to do a jank, because it's like I've been talking for 10 minutes. But, my jank for you this week is a wireless Nerf PS2 controller. You can get it at Walmart, $5. Blam, son. So
blam, jank.
So if you're looking to pick up, like, I mean, obviously, Nerf controller, it's a little weird. You know, it's kind of squishy. I mean, you could beat somebody in the face with it, but it's a little weird to use. But for a third or fourth controller, maybe even a second controller, it's not a bad deal, especially if you don't have a wireless controller. Let me tell you, when I got my Logitech wireless PS2 controller, I'm never looking back. I'm never buying anything wired ever again. So, yeah, it's a good, cheap controller. I'm not sure if all Walmarts have it for this set $5, but mine did. So, go check it out.
So we've got.
I gotta know, is it shoot out like foam rubber balls and shit?
I wish.
So we've got the.
But you can get them in a variety of colors.
At the office, we've got the Fun Zone, right? Uh-oh. And the Fun Zone's got this huge LCD or this huge plasma, big HD TV, and then like all the game consoles and some even like two or three of them all on the floor there. So Wayne Miller's never played a PS3 before. He's played a little Xbox, but not PS3. So I said, you know, I'll play this new, what was it, Tekken. Plays new or Virtual Fighter or something, the new fighting game on the PS3.
You don't know nothing. That were people hitting.
That's all saying to me. So I sit down on the couch and I pick up the controller, and the controller's like nothing. Like it feels like it's nothing.
I
in
know
my
that's
hands.
What I
so
hate
like,
about
I
the
feel
PS3
like I'm gonna break
controller.
It. Cheap piece of shit controller. Like compared to the Xbox controller.
I know. Look, you gotta have.
What's going on?
Yeah, especially if you don't have Rumble in your controller. Stick some lead in it or something. God damn. That thing is like, I feel like I'm going to break it every time I pick up a PS3 controller. I'm just going to tape some weights to the bottom of it. That's my solution.
Also, like, one thing that struck me when I played the PS3 is like, I play that new fighting game. I don't know whether it's Tekken or Virtual Fighter or whatever, but I play that game, right? And it's like, that game immediately made me feel uncomfortable because the people looked like, they didn't look real, but they looked close enough to it that it made it's like Uncanny Valley. You know what I mean? Like you shouldn't make a game ever again that's not stylized in some way because they were trying to make it as realistic as possible. It just doesn't work. You know,
that's true. That's a problem that happens. That's what I was talking about with like Perfect Dark Zero. They try to make it look so real that the people look like plastic and weird, and you're just like, what are you doing? It looks crap.
Yeah. So.
Dude, as long as the tits bounce, I'm cool with it.
They did. Wee Miller,
my real question for you, what does this have to do with the wireless Nerf PS2 controller?
We were talking about controllers, and I was talking about that controller.
Oh, I see.
Being so butt.
I thought you were going to say, dude, like, there were Nerf guns in the fun room.
No, oh, no man. Nerf guns in the fun room.
Because, look, every fun room needs Nerf.
Dude, listen, William Miller. I'm gonna come down to Firaxis there or whatever, and I'm gonna put a Wiimote through that TV in the fun zone.
It's gonna be the sad zone after that.
You're gonna walk right in, and that's the first thing that's gonna happen is that Wiimote flies out of your hand and buries itself in the fun zone TV.
In fact, you know what? I'm gonna come in with a Wiimote, and there won't be a Wii game plan. I'll just swing it. And it'll fly out of my hand, blam.
You can sharpen the tip
done.
Of it, too. Like, grind it down to a point.
All right. Well, now it's time.
Dude, Sid Meier will be like that Indian with a tear coming down his face.
All right. Well, now it's time for the contest. All right, guys. So, we hadn't had a contest in a long time. Our last contest was Tom Barbalay's Heat. That came to an end. What contest we got now?
Well, I think we need to come back to a Photoshop contest.
I think so. I think those were always a favorite back in the day. So we got a Photoshop contest. What is our Photoshop contest this week?
Well, see, I like Photoshop, and I also like stroking my ego. So we need to have an ego stroking Photoshop contest.
All right. So what is this Photoshop going to be of? Does anybody remember? We did this on the last time we recorded. What did we finally come up with was going to be our Photoshop?
I think what we came up with is we needed to top our Photoshop contest of our listeners making golden statues of us.
Oh, that's right.
So what we came up with to top that is Photoshop us as gods of the gaming industry, and then we need to be like laying down the justice, the judgment on the evils of the gaming industry. So it could be whatever you want.
Right.
It could be Jack Thompson. It could be Brian Crescente if you like.
It could be Itagaki. But he could be like raping somebody and then he sees us and stops.
Now see, I approve of that.
Okay, well, all right, maybe
Itagaki can rape on.
Yeah, maybe Itagaki could be like you know, one of our minions. He can. He's good.
See, no, it needs to be. It needs to be like
just issue the instead of move it's attack, like, it's move rape.
Supposing we're you know, ethereal beings of the gaming industry, illustrate our limit break. There you go.
Listen, son, who's supposing?
Oh, shit. So we'll give this contest a few weeks, guys. Maybe like, what do you say, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, something around there?
Something like that.
We'll give you an update next week.
We'll see if we can come up with some good source material for you guys to work with.
Yeah, look down in your, if you're on the M4A version of the podcast, check the album art now, and I'll give you guys a few photos to work with. If you're on the MP3, go get the M4A.
We'll do it. We'll judge the contest as soon as our store is open.
Oh, I think
again.
So, yeah. And that's coming soon, right, William Miller?
It's coming soon.
The new
soon,
store
baby.
Coming soon, right?
It's coming soon. Look, William Miller has a whole weekend where he's doing nothing. Like, I live in a house that's under siege by prostitutes 24 hours a day. So I can't leave. So,
wait. So you're going to be stuck in your house all weekend, besieged by prostitutes, and you're doing nothing?
Look, Justin, you don't want son. These prostitutes. Listen. Listen, I told
dude,
this story.
I want all
look,
prostitutes. Any look, any port in a storm?
The less teeth, the better, baby.
Any port in a... No, you don't want these ports. No, you don't.
Dude, eye patch.
You don't want these storms.
Eye patch means another orifice for Justin Fick.
So, oh, God, that's disgusting. speaking of the store, the last vestiges of love from Tom Barbalay was mailed to me earlier this week, guys. He sent me a shirt with TBDPE.com on it, and it has face.jpg right underneath my face.jpg.
Nice.
So if you want to see a picture of that secret heat, just look down in your album art. All right, well, now it's time for feedback. Guys, you hear that? You hear that sound?
Crickets. I hear it.
That's the sound of no goddamn voicemails ever. Why do you guys never... Look. All right. First person to send us a voicemail this week, and we'll know who the first one is. So if you're hearing this day one, you better get on that phone. First person to send us a voicemail this week, they went a raping from Ida Gonki, okay? So have that virgin asshole ready and call 845-BATTLE-9. So if you're the first person to call in, you will, in fact, be raped. This is no joke. Do not laugh. This is real. Where have we gotten emails?
All right, we've got an email from Sirius Fox. Dylan and Daniel can't take the heat. Get over it, baby. Blake Buck, BB, went through pure genius for that video. Apparently, he liked your either the first treasured moments or the second treasured moments with Blake Buck.
The second treasured moments just went up.
I really like... the second treasure moments. Blake Buck is king of books in my mind.
Like, and the thing I really love about that video, like, I did not plan any of that. Like, I knew I was going to say some stupid shit, but I was just like, what does Blake Buck not like? Books. So I grabbed a book and just, like, got my buddy to record, and that's what happened. And look, there's more. Look, video number 3 features Blake Buck eating raisin bread. And I got to say, it's intense. That's all I can tell you.
It's a powerful moment in cinema.
Justin Fick, what's El Spuddy got to say?
All right, El Spuddy has to say, hi, guys, just a few comments on EP21. Dude, Hospital Tycoon sounds like Theme Hospital, enough said. As for Shadowrun, I remember that as a mud. Go north, kill dog. Dude, Mr. Miller, that's what you and me are going to do.
Go north and kill dog?
Go
what
north,
man?
Kill dog.
No, that's totally inappropriate, guys. That's what we learned from the forums.
Dude, I will stick that dog in a blender and make a smoothie of it and then fire it out of a cannon into traffic and then dance on his grave.
Look, you haven't even heard it in real life yet, and you already want to do all that.
Dude, look, I don't need to hear it. I don't care if he's whining or not. I just embrace animal genocide.
Let me explain why Justin Fick is so mad. So we made a joke about killing a dog on like our last show, and some people went on the forums and just cried it up. They were QQing all over the place. And look, I can understand like some people are more sensitive about dogs, and I guess we should tone it down. But at the same time, we talk about people getting raped and killed all the time, and nobody ever says it. We never get any emails about that. But if we say anything about a dog, oh, it's a big deal now. So, oh, my girlfriend's making a face at me. She loves dogs.
Dude, I never even said I wanted to kill it last time. I said I wanted to dip my shoe in arsenic and kick him in the face.
See, people don't like it because it's so specific, justific. You don't say
dude,
you want to kill
not,
the dog.
It's not even fatal. It's not even fatal. It just f*** him up for a couple hours.
Look, to be honest, it's not the dog that I want to kill. It's the owners of the dog that I want to kill. Look, your dog doesn't bark if you let it in the f***ing house. Just let it in the f***ing house. It's not going to bark, baby. Or get, you know, send it to your cousin out in the country, something. You know, it's not the dog's fault. He's just doing his thing. These people.
Dude, I'm gonna buy that Costco arsenic. Can't let that go to waste. Everyone gets kicks in the face.
Why do you know about Costco arsenic? What is wrong with you? Wazoo, who we've referenced several times on the show, he says, hey, BDPE guys, I have an idea for a new section of the show, face.jpg stories. Or if it's it would be Grand Theft Auto, face.jpg stories. What happens when you show an innocent bystander face.jpg? He says, this is my first one. I showed my girlfriend the face over the phone. How do you show somebody a face over a phone? These kids and their phones. She started to choke, and then after she had some water, started crying. Her exact words were, why are you dealing with these people? Enough said. I do not believe that. Now, I understand. We play up face. It is not so intense that you're going to cry when you see it. Wazoo, I'm calling bullshit.
I've said this once. I'll say it again. Face.jpg is like a pan-dimensional horror from H.P. Lovecraft. You look upon it, and you gotta, it's impossible to make that will save. You're gonna run away and pee your pants. I mean,
there is no saving throw against face.jpg.
No, there's no saving throw.
You're a fucking nerd. William Miller, take this next one.
All right, we got Senior Awesome. Senior Awesome Wright says, don't listen to what the mean men, women say about Treasured Moments Episode 1. They're lying. Every single person I've shown the masterpiece to has begun showing anecdotes about dicks on their DS. I don't know about you guys, but I think Tom Barberly's entry into the Impersonate Blake Buck contest was spot on. He nailed the accent perfectly. I also want to say that something clever to you started talking about a game. Wait, I also wanted to say something clever to you, or to make you start talking about the game ideas that you have for the game section of the site. But I can't think of anything. But if you could clear that up, that'd be nice.
Look, Justin Fink just gave you a whole bunch of game ideas. Beat dog in face.
Yeah, I mean, in a very real sense, like, if you listen to the show enough, you've got all the game ideas we have already. I mean, seriously, like, seriously, just listen to the show.
We have like six game ideas in progress at least.
Yeah, at least, and they're all generated from the show. So
yeah, I know all of our game. Look, we still got tanks on.
Dude, tank, chainsaws, fight force.
I forgot about fight force.
So you know, all of that's gotta be condensed down into one game. It's gonna have tank, chainsaws, fight force. It's got to have it all.
No, it'll be the longest title in the industry. It'll beat The Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, Battle for Middle-Earth 3, Rise of the Witch King.
Fight Force and Tank Fights and Chainsaws, Rise of the Brain-Eating Bastards, Two of the Damned.
Fight, 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 fight. Just evolves into fight and hit and D at the end.
Dude, that's right. A metagame, fight.
Well, thanks for the emails from all you guys. Now it's time for the stump. All right, guys, this week's stunt, we got a special stunt. Now, we did this on the last week's, on our unreleased show, but we got to do it again because it was such a good one. This is, we got to come up with an SNES stump from an SNES game that's been released in the United States. Go.
All right, Blake Buck, I think you're going to get this one, so I'm only going to say half the title, and you're probably still going to get it. You too, Justific. My game this week is Brutal.
Brutal? Wait a minute. What was Brutal? I remember Brutal.
Dude, does it start? It stars Itagaki.
No, dude, that's snuff. Brutal, I'm getting confused with Primal Rage, but Brutal was that, like, it was like Feats of Fury. It was like a game where you played like rabbits and stuff and like different brutal animals.
Paws of Fury.
Claws of Fury.
Anthropomorphic animal fighting dudes.
Look, that's where my love of furry started, was that game. And it has only increased then at an exponential rate each year.
Yeah, you know, what's funny about that, Blake Bug, is you actually had a different starting point for your love of furries in the show we recorded but never released. I don't remember what it was.
Star
but
Fox.
You actually made that exact same comment the last time we recorded a show. Is there something you need to tell us? That might not be a joke after all there, Blake Buck.
Oh, no. Justin Fick said, I think yours was like Busby or something last time. And you said it was during that era of you know, mascot Dude, degeneration.
It was massive mascot ejaculation period.
Like the mid-90s where like everybody was trying to start their new hot mascot IP. I remember that heat. All right, so Justin Fick, what you got for me?
Dude, I had an awesome stump last time, and then I had to get rid of it because we lost our f***ing audio. So I'm winging it this time, and my stump this week for you is called Ogre Battle.
Oh, son.
Oh, titties McBlaster. What the f***? Come on.
Son. Blake Bug, I can't believe you've played Ogre
Blake
Battle.
Blake Bug like, played not... Ogre Battle 64 until his eyes popped out. And I know that Ogre Battle 64 was based on SNES.
All right, look, Ogre Battle 64 is one thing, son, but did you play the original Ogre Battle?
I think I've seen it, but I've never played it.
Yeah, okay. Well, that game you could not play. It would drive you crazy.
Why is that?
Well, all right.
You got to take turns? Blake Bug doesn't do turns?
Well, yeah, you got to take turns, but you got to watch a lot, and you got to wait.
Blake Buck likes do.
Dude, Ogre Battle is all Overlord. You make your parties, and you send them out, and you let them fight.
Did you play Ogre Tactics, Justin Fick?
What's that?
Oh, that was the GBA one, right?
Did you play Ogre Tactics?
Ogre Tactics, I have not.
Son, that was good.
It was called Tactics Ogre, for your information, son, not Ogre Tactics. You better get it right.
Yeah, Tactics Ogre.
Look, Blake Buck knows his ogres and his battles and his tactics, all right? All right, my game for you this week, guys. Now, I may have done this one before, so I'm not 100% sure if I've ever done this, but my game for you is called Demon's Crest.
Oh, son. Oh, come on. Dude.
Uh-oh.
Dude.
Uh-oh.
I never played this game in my f***ing life.
That was the fake out, the bluff. Excellent work.
Dude, Lucas just sent this heat to me, and I have not played it yet. I need to get on this power. I mean, in accordance with federal law, of course. Since we both own this game and have backup copies. Oh, God.
Demon's Crest was a Capcom game that was sort of like Mega Man from the mid-90s when Mega Man was big. You played a demon, and you got to fly around and kill other demons. And when you killed them other demons, you got their powers. So eventually, like, you could fly, and you could get, like, fireball and stuff. And I don't know, it was a very original concept, and, like, it had a fairly interesting story. Like, the world was ruled by demons and humans and stuff, and it's a pretty interesting game. So either check it on ROMs, that is if you have an illegal backup copy, of course, or, I don't know, go find it on eBay or something. Demon's Crest, thumbs up. All right. Oh man, this was such a good show. I want to end it on the fast note. Here we go. All right, that does it for this week in the best damn podcast ever. Ow, ow!
Blake Buck, I just peed myself.
Man, every time you do that, I think Matt Gaming is gonna slip out.
Dude, I'm impressed. We finally got this damn show out.
I know. Oh, this is such a good show.
Hey, no, it's not out yet. There could be a disaster. Like, I could die or something between now and when I get to the office know, to send the audio in.
Dude, if you die, I'm going to find one of those prostitutes around your house to get her to upload your audio.
Look, if you die, Windmill, it's just going to be the show with me and Fick. And whenever you talk, we're just going to have, like, I don't know, a fart noise play. It'll be just
That's
as
how
funny.
You would honor me in death. You put fart noises over my audio.
That's how we would honor your death. So if you'd like to send us any feedback, it's feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com or call our listener line to get raped by Itagaki at 845-BATTLE-9, B-A-T-T-L-E. I would tell you what that is on a phone, but I don't have a phone nearby. Also, if you want to send us any donations, it's donate at bestdamnpodcastever.com, and we'd like to give a shout-out to Devlin Carey, who sent us a little money on the donate line. So thanks so much, Devlin. You are a king among men. In fact, what does it say? What is it one of you guys says? King of my heart. That's
king,
it.
Dude, definitely you say that, the king son. Of our heart. You say that.
Do I say that? Dude, oh, I'm so dude. Lame. Also, vote for us at podcast. Look, if you didn't already vote, that means you ignored me at the start of this show, and I am very angry. So you better get on that vote line at podcastally.com. Either check the show notes or go to the website. You can find all the information there. Finally, guys, if you'd like to send us something at our P.O. box, just send any bombs or, you know, incendiary weapons to P.O. Box 1954, Oxford, Mississippi, 38655. All right. Well, you guys got any other heat?
Nope, no other heat.
That's it, Blake Buck.
All right. Well, from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
I'm Justin Fick.
And we'll see you next time. That was an ass-blasting show.
Pretty good.
Man, we were on fire.
Dude, to use the metaphor, that is a duke that has been built up for far too long, and it came blasting out the asshole like a brown Superman.
Is your mic still on?
Oh, my mic is still on, son.
Oh, thank God. A brown Superman. What the fuck is wrong with you? That's the quote right there, son.